Can be watched again on sermon audio. So we see them there night by night, and they can be listened to again, those who have come to sing, and also the preaching of the Word of God. And Samuel, wherever Samuel is, he shouldn't be too far away. He has also done a little bit of videoing each night, and if you follow Facebook, and I'm not on Facebook, I have access to it, and the only place I look is our church page, so the wee videos have gone up each night, and we appreciate the work that you have put in. And of course, we thank Almighty God, because that's why we're here. If we didn't have a God that we love and seek to serve, we wouldn't be in Ballinamore at all. If we didn't have a Saviour who has redeemed us and saved us from our sin, we wouldn't have a message to proclaim to anyone. And so we just rejoice in Him tonight, the one that we love. And we're not ashamed to say that we love the Lord, and we're not ashamed of the Lord either, as the opening hymn indicated. Now we're opening our Bibles tonight to Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 19. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. I'm going to read from the 16th verse of this 19th chapter, Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, the word there is complete or sincere, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then in the reading there, we trust the Lord will bless it to all that are here. We'll bow together just for a moment in prayer, ask the Lord's help tonight. Our Father, we thank Thee for this last night. As we look back over the 3 weeks, we want to acknowledge Your goodness and Your mercy towards us. For that conscious sense of the Lord's nearness every night, for help given in every aspect of the mission. But Lord, we come to this final time in Your Word, as far as Ballinamore is concerned, as far as this hall is concerned for this time. And we know that last nights are always very solemn times, when the gospel is preached once more, when the invitation is given once more, and that appeal is made for sinners to come to Christ and be reconciled unto God. Lord, we cry very especially for tonight's meeting, very particularly now for Your Word. We pray that it will come with power. We thank Thee for the reading of it. We thank Thee that we have read the book that God has given. We have read this section dealing with the life of a young man, this few minutes that he spends in the presence of Christ, and the exchange of conversation went on here, and there's so much to learn. Lord, teach us tonight. By the ministry of the Holy Spirit, teach us. We pray for that quickening of God. make us alive unto the things of the Lord. Help me to bring the message. Endue me now with power from on high. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And bring honor and glory to Christ, whom we love and whom we serve, because we ask in his name. Amen. Verse 22 is going to be my text tonight. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Very simply, I want to speak on the young man who walked away from Christ. And you know, that's happening every day. There are those who walk away from Christ, young people and older people alike. And it's one of the saddest things that any person can ever do. There is a multitude out there in society. We know that they live for themselves and they live for sin. They are in the world. They are far away from God. They have no time for the gospel. They never darken the door of a church building. They despise spiritual things. They walk according to the course of this world. They have no godly influence in their life. And at the weekends, they're out there just living a life of sin. It's the clubs, the pubs, drinking, drugs, foul language, sexual immorality, filthy programs and magazines, and internet impurity. And these are the things that occupy their thoughts and their desires. And so they are, as the hymn writer said, they're out on the mountains wild and bare. And we can say they're far from God tonight. They are those that are described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, when he talks about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And there is a sense in which such people never walk away from Christ, because they never get near to Christ to walk away from him in the first place. I sometimes travel home late from meetings and mission services, and coming through some of our times at midnight or in the wee hours of the morning, and I see young people, and they are leaving nightclubs, they are leaving drinking dens, and my heart is broken by what I see. I see the state that they are in. Many of them intoxicated, many of them falling over themselves, many of them sick on the pavements. And of course, I'm also amazed at the way that they dress. We're not talking about coming out into 20, 25 degrees. Some of these nights traveling home, they're cold nights. Some of these young people have very, very little on. And my heart is broken when I see the state that they're in and the way that they are dressed. And I pray that God will mercy, that God will reach such young people, and God will bless those that have a ministry among them. And we're glad that there are those who go out to these places at night and they seek to witness to the young people, and they bring a message of hope and a message in the gospel. However, in the vast majority of cases, these young people never get near the precious Savior. By their conduct and their attitude, by their lifestyle and their addiction to sin, they just keep traveling further and further and further away from God. So they're not getting near Christ. But there are those that get near. Through the godly witness of a mother and a father who know Christ. Through the spiritual instruction of faithful Sunday school teachers and children's workers and youth workers. Through the persuasion of gospel preaching. And maybe some of you are here tonight, and this is you. There have been times in the course of life when it could be said of you, as it was said of another, and we preached this on the first Tuesday night of the mission, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And the truth of the matter is that you have been brought near to Jesus Christ through the knowledge of the gospel. You have come so far, and you have had feelings in your heart about spiritual matters, and you have been touched by the Spirit of God. You have been concerned in your soul, and you have gotten near to Christ, you've even shed tears over these things, and in a very real sense, you haven't been far. You've been brought near. I can't answer for those who sit in meetings and they sit there totally disinterested. I can't answer for those who come to gospel services and missions and their thoughts are afar off and they never think about their souls and they just can't wait for the meeting to be over and get out through the door. They look around them, they fidget, they whisper, they never open the Bible and they're totally disinterested. I can't answer for them. Such never come near Christ either, or they don't allow themselves to come near to Christ. I trust that that is not you. I trust that these things cannot be said of you, that you don't find yourself in that position. I certainly trust that you're not like those who are described by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about those who are past feeling. It's possible to get to a place like that in your life. Well, you've drifted on and on and on and away from God, that you don't feel any more conviction, you don't feel any more desires in your heart for Christ. These things never trump your past feeling. Well, I want to talk about those who genuinely come near to Christ, who have an interest, who listen to the Word of God, those whose hearts are touched, because such is the young man that we read about in our text. It is interesting that this story is told three times in the Gospels. So you have it in Matthew, Mark, and then in Luke. And that can be for no other purpose but to give emphasis to this history. And to draw our attention in a special and powerful way to this incident. God would have us to know about this young man. And so it's not recorded just the once in the New Testament, and that would be sufficient, but God draws our attention to it three times. And he wants us, therefore, to pay attention to the life of this young man. He came very near. He had desires in his heart. He was longing to be right with God. And these facts are important to notice. But he walked away. He walked away from Christ. What a tragedy. We never read of him returning to the Lord. And you get the picture in your mind of this young man that comes to Christ. He's got a burden in his heart. And he spends time exchanging conversation with the Lord. But the end of the story, as far as I see it, ends in tragedy. Because he walks away. There is a serious warning to all in this meeting who are in any way concerned at the end of this mission. Trouble in your heart. Possessing feelings and inclinations, there is a warning to you. Be careful what you do with Christ. And be careful that you don't be like this young man and walk away from him. I want you to see, first of all, that this young man had a desire. He had a desire. What did he want? It seems to me, more than anything else, what was the burden of his heart? What troubled him as he approached the Savior? Eternal life. I want to know the way of eternal life. And so we read there in verse 16 that he came to Christ and he said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He wanted to be saved. He didn't come like so many others came to the congregations of the Lord. There were many who came to be healed. They had diseases, they had sicknesses. They had some kind of malady in their body and they came because they wanted the touch of the Lord or they wanted the Lord to speak the word of power that they might be healed. They didn't come with a child. Read of those occasions, especially fathers who brought their children to the Lord, that the Lord might heal them, that the Lord might cast out a demon, we know on one occasion. Nor did he come like others that were found in the congregations, they were the critics, they were just there to find fault. No, this young man came because he was concerned about his soul, the most important matter that anyone could ever contemplate. You notice how it is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10 and verse 17. This is how the record reads. When he was gone forth, that is Jesus, into the way, There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now you can't read a verse of scripture like this without sensing something of the burden in this young man's heart. There is no doubt that he was inwardly moved. He was genuinely troubled. He was eager to get this matter sorted out in his life. I want to know the way of life eternal. I want to know how to get to heaven. And we think of him here, how he is described. He came running. That shows keenness. That shows desire. He came running to Christ. Oh, that men would run to the Savior. He not only came running, he came kneeling. Just dropped there on his knees before the presence of the Master, before the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in flesh, and he knelt before him in profound humility, and he came speaking. He wanted to know something. He wanted to know the way of life. Is there someone here, and you've got desires in your heart this evening? You're concerned about your future. You want salvation. You hope to go to heaven at the end of the journey. And this is a matter that you've thought about, you've felt moved in your heart, you've even shed tears, but tonight you're still not saved. Do not rest until you know, beyond all shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Do not be satisfied until you know that it is well with your soul. Because you see, my friends, having a desire is not enough, as we shall see in this story. But he had a desire. The second thing I want you to notice is that he had a discussion. He has this conversation with the Lord. He entered into a conversation with Christ about the matter of life eternal. Jesus spoke to him about the commandments. You notice that there in verse 17. He says at the end of the text, If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Of course, keeping the commandments does not bring eternal life. But the Lord is beginning a conversation and he's seeking to draw out information from this young man. And it's always good to speak about the law of God, by the way, about the commandments. You see, God has given to man a perfect standard for life and happiness. And it's summed up in what we know as the Ten Commandments, recorded in Exodus 20. These laws deal with our relationship, firstly to Almighty God, and then they deal with our relationship to each other. And when Jesus was asked the question in the New Testament about the greatest commandment of all, what is the great commandment? You remember how he answered? Because it is a summary of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus told the inquirer that on these two commandments the whole law of God hung. It's a summary of the Ten Commandments. The rich young ruler, he responded incorrectly. Instead of saying, all these things have I broken from my youth up. How can I have forgiveness? He says, all these things have I kept. But you notice he didn't own up to breaking the commandments of God. Because that's how everyone lives, isn't it? That's how every single son of Adam believes. The fact of the matter is we are all law breakers. We've broken the Ten Commandments. Every one of us. No one can stand tonight in this meeting and say, Preacher, I've kept the commandments of God. Kept them holy. I've kept them perfectly. I've kept them all my life. Not one has kept them or can keep them or will ever keep them perfectly. It is humanly impossible. There's only one who kept the Ten Commandments, and that is the Savior himself, who lived perfectly, righteously in this world on behalf of his people. No matter how hard we try, no matter how well we regulate our lives, no matter how sincere and earnest we might be in our attempt to keep the law of God, we fail miserably. Yes, there are those who live outwardly religious, pious lives, like this young man in the story, and they even think the way that he did, where he said in verse 20, I've kept them from my youth. What lack I? What's missing in my life? It seems that he had done his best. And no doubt he probably had done better than his peers. He had lived better, because it's unusual for a young man, one that is so young, to be seriously inquiring after eternal life and spiritual matters. Here's a young man, he tried his hardest. He was conscientious. He was a model son. He was a fine, upstanding citizen. He was a faithful attendant upon spiritual things. And I've no doubt about that. But he had a wrong understanding of the law of God. Keeping God's commandments had a lot more to do with than a mere outward observance of the commandments. It was a matter of the heart. Keeping the law perfectly without a single flaw. If we fail in one area, the Bible reminds us we're guilty of all. And he couldn't see it. He just couldn't see it. Like many people today, they can't see themselves as sinners. They can't see themselves as lawbreakers, that they've broken the law of God. Any way, the Lord gave him the benefit of the doubt, or at least he called upon him to prove his sincerity, the sincerity of his profession. And so in verse 21, Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, complete, perfectly happy, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. See what the Lord's asking him to do? This rich young man, go and sell everything, give it to the poor, and then I want you to come and follow me. There's nothing like putting a thing to the test. If we really mean business with God, if we really desire our sins forgiven, if we really long for eternal life and heaven, then nothing will be too great a sacrifice to make. The problem with this young man was that there was something more important in his life than salvation. Something more important than gaining eternal life, namely his riches. Now, God doesn't ask all wealthy men to give up their riches. In fact, this is the only time in the scriptures where we learn about an individual who was asked to do that, because God could see his heart. Jesus could see his heart. And he knew that the riches were a stumbling block and meant more to him than anything, including salvation. The scriptures do teach about the peril of riches. In fact, if you had a marginal Bible, you might see something like that written in the margin of your Bible. The Savior uses this particular happening to teach us something about the snare of wealth, because he says in verse 23 that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say in verse 24, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And we're not talking about a big, huge camel, the animal that we know going through the eye of one of your needles, that ladies that you sew with. The understanding of this is that there was a gate in Jerusalem that was called the eye of the needle, the needle's eye. And for a camel to go through that particular gate, it had to be unladen of its burden. And it had to crouch down and put its head down and squeeze through. It was a difficult thing for the camel to get through. That's what the Lord is teaching here. And of course the disciples were amazed at what the Lord said. And it brought them to ask the question, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus, he said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I wonder tonight, is there something standing in your way? Is there something hindering you from coming to Christ? Just like it was in the life of this man. Is there something more important to you than heaven? Something more important than eternal life? The salvation of your soul? Is it wealth? Is it riches? It stumbled this man. Is it popularity? Is it the pleasures of this world? Well, I tell you something, they're fleeting. They're going to pass. And they'll pass quicker than you think. Is it some individual in your life? And maybe if you come to Christ, you know you'll have to give up that person. Is it some sexual relationship? What is it that's stopping you from coming to Jesus Christ tonight? Because there was something stopping this young man. And that brings me to my final point. Because I want you to see his decision. And it's given in our text here. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As I see it, this is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. For here we have a young man that is full of potential, really desiring the right thing. I want heaven. I want eternal life. And we see him running with all speed to the person who could give him eternal life, the Savior himself. And I have no doubt that he was sincere. I have no doubt that he was desirous. I have no doubt that he was burdened about this matter. But my friends, he walked away. You've got to see that tonight in this meeting. He comes to Christ, I want life, I want heaven, I want my sins forgiven. But he walks away without that which he had come for. There's never a time that I read this story that I notice how tragic his decision was. I see a building up of the words here that makes this history all the more lamentable. You want to think about what the Bible tells us. What Jesus is saying here, what the record is explaining to us. He went away. And if we were just to put a full stop there and say nothing more, I tell you that would be tragic enough. To come to the Savior, to come wanting eternal life, to get so near to the Lord, and yet he went away. That's a tragedy. But you see, there's more words to it. He went away sorrowful. He walked away from the presence of Christ with a great burden in his heart. Sadness. Maybe even weeping. And how tragic is that? And he went away sorrowful, the scripture tells us, for he had great possessions. He was allowing those possessions in his life to damn his soul. And that's incredible that there would be anything in this life more important than getting right with God and going to heaven. And yet it was for this young man. He went away having come with such earnestness. Remember how he came? Running to Christ. Kneeling before Christ. With great enthusiasm. I want eternal life. How do I get it, Lord? And yet he walks away. And you know, my friends, he walked away loved by the Savior. It is the gospel writer Mark that tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This young man leaves his presence and begins to make his way away from Christ. The Lord beheld him. He looked at him. And the Lord wept over him. And the Lord loved him. Isn't that terrible tonight, when you think about how this story begins to build up, making it all the more lamentable? Going away sorrowful, going away allowing his riches to be a hindrance to him, going away having come with such keenness and enthusiasm, and now going away and the Lord loves him. And you know, my friends, he went away never to come back again. Because in the history of the New Testament, we do not read of this young man ever coming back to the Savior and seeking for eternal life. This story really happened. This is not just some kind of story that's been made up by man, put down here in the Bible. This actually happened. This is history. And this is still happening. Right up until this present day. Men are still going away from the Lord. And they're going away from his presence, allowing something trivial to hinder them. They're going away loved by the Savior. You can have desires after salvation. You can think seriously about heaven and getting right with God. And you can take steps in the right direction and end up in hell. Do you know that? The rich young ruler went away that day with a heavy heart. What about you in this mission? Have there been nights that you come here and you've gone out through the doors with a heavy heart because you knew that you should have got right with God? You knew that you should have been saved? But you've gone, you've left the presence of Christ that has been in these meetings. And you've walked away. Jesus asked one time, shall ye also go away? Here's a young man. He went away. I'm asking you the question tonight as the Lord did in his day. Are you going to go away as well? On the last night of this mission, without Christ, without salvation, without eternal life. You've got to learn. Please learn from this story, from this biblical history. And in your learning, learn to be wise unto salvation and to come to Christ. And if you've come to this mission with desire, and you've come tonight as you've listened to the Word of God, you've been troubled in your heart, well, now's the time to act upon that. Because if you go away, it's very likely that those thoughts and feelings will leave you. But if God is speaking to you now, and I can't see your heart, but you know God is speaking to you, don't go away without the Savior. Don't make the tragic mistake that this young man did. Let us pray. I want you to know tonight that it's been a privilege for me to have been the preacher of this mission, coming night by night. Every night I've looked forward to it. Every night I've come with excitement in my heart. Just couldn't wait to get to the mission. I've been blessed. And I appreciate your attendance also. And every night we sense the Lord being with us. And the people of God have been praying. You've come, you've listened, and some of you are not saved tonight. And we're so glad that you've found your way to Ballinamore Community Hall tonight. The Lord wanted you to be here to hear this message. My friends, he's able to save you. Want you to know that salvation is real? Want you to know that you can have salvation? The two great pillars are faith and repentance. Faith in Christ, who he is, what he came to do. Repentance of our sin, turning away from our sin. You can have life eternal. To live forever with Christ in heaven and the people of God forevermore. Don't go away without that. See Christ. On every head bowed, every eye closed. Just on this final night. I'm just going to appeal to those in this meeting now who are without the Savior. Or maybe you're backslidden. And God has come near and he's spoken to you. And you know what you need to do now. You need to come to Christ. You need to be saved. You don't want to go out through those doors tonight rejecting the Lord again. Walking away from Christ like this young man. If there's someone here tonight and you're able to say in your heart, preacher, I know that God has been here. He's spoken to me. He's been working in my heart. I know I need to be saved. And I want to settle that matter tonight. I want to get right with God. Just as our heads are bowed in the presence of our God, would you just indicate that to me by lifting your hand? I haven't done this any other night in the mission, but I'm just asking it tonight. I feel I ought to just give you that opportunity to, right now, in the presence of God, just lift your hand as an indication, I want to come to Christ. And I'll pray for you. We can talk to you after the meeting, counsel you from the Word of God, open the Scriptures, show you how you can be saved. Is there one? Some man, some woman, a young person perhaps. Preacher, I want to get right with God. Coming to Christ tonight. I'm not going to leave it any longer. And I'm just going to lift my hand to indicate that desire. Is there one? Just do it now. Anywhere in the meeting. I'm not going to prolong this just one more time. Is there anyone tonight? That's your desire. Preacher, I'm coming to Christ. I'm going to settle a matter.
We're here after the meeting. As we said every night, when we're serving for Christ's sake, don't go away without Him. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you know what you need to do. And you need to do it tonight. You can say to me going out, I'd like to talk to you. Mention to Phil here, any of the other elders, God's people that are here. We love you. We pray for you. They desire to see you saved. Just say to them, we'll help you. We'll direct you. We'll point you to Christ. Oh God, our Father, we give thanks for the mission, for every night, for your presence, for help given, for your precious word that has given light and understanding, has given us counsel, has warned us, has exhorted us. Thank you for the blessed Savior himself who has been with us, who has stood in these gatherings as we have met together. Thank you for his drawing power that has brought others to Christ. Now, Lord, we come to the end and we just leave the issues with our God. Blessed Holy Spirit, continue to work and bring true conviction of sin and true conversion to Christ. And Lord, give that grace that is needed to bring sinners now to the Savior. When thou hast warned us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not for the day may bring forth. Hear this our prayer in the Savior's name.